This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Xiaoning, Philip, and myself, Shazana. For now, though, we are turning our attention to salary trends. Last week, the Department of Statistics Malaysia, or DOSM, released its annual salaries and wages report for the year 2020, which made for painful, if unsurprising, reading due to the effects of the pandemic.
The survey showed that on average, the mean monthly salaries and wages declined by 9%, which is the first decline since 2010. DOSM also noted that median and monthly salaries had declined across all education attainment, especially for those whose qualifications are at the primary and secondary school levels.
While nearly all economic sectors saw a drop in salaries and wages, a few more were severely impacted than others. So agriculture, mining and construction saw double-digit declines. Meanwhile, in the services sector, wage recipients in wholesale and retail trade, auto repair, hospitality and F&B also saw double-digit declines. So, of course, the question is this downward trend in salaries a temporary blip or will it have longer-term implications for the Malaysian economy?
So helping us to make sense of the data is Dr. Niaz Asadullah, Southeast Asia Lead at the Global Labour Organization. Good morning, Niaz. So what do you think? Is the drop in mean and median salaries solely due to the pandemic? I mean, that was the reason that DOSM gave. But are there also other factors at play?
Yes, the pandemic is the main driver. But in a way, the reported drop in salary also reflects the government's stimulus program. In Malaysia, various retention schemes have been introduced to avoid large-scale job loss among low-pay workers last year. And this has helped maintain single-digit unemployment rate. But it came at the expense of reduced average wages. But I should clarify that this pattern is not unique to Malaysia. Globally, two-thirds of the countries experienced a fall in wages during the pandemic. But these are also countries which had strong measures in place to preserve employment.
But you know, you say it's about the same trend, but relative to other peers, how deep is our drop compared to other of our relative peers then?
So we don't have data at hand, but again, you know, I would say that the drop looks modest.
I'm just curious also, if this lockdown continues, will we see this data being repeated in the coming quarters? Because, you know, businesses, maybe they're okay with the wage subsidy scheme, but if the lockdown is prolonged, you know, many businesses, especially the SMEs, might say, enough is enough, I'm throwing in the towel.
Well, you know, so this brings up an interesting point that, well, you know, how should firms respond to disruptions to the economy, right? So they could, hire fewer workers or they could adjust hours of work. And what we are seeing right now is that the employers opting for the second instead of, you know, going for a large scale, reduction in workforce. They're sort of retaining workers, but making them work for fewer hours or part-time basis or on flexible terms.
So, Niaz, does the specter of inflation make the downward trend in salaries more concerning? And are there other trends in the data that we should be keeping an eye on, do you think?
Yes, inflation is a concern because in the past, inflation has been low in Malaysia and that kind of helped maintain a healthy real wage level. But in April this year, the consumer price index rose 4.7%, the highest since 2018. And this is indeed worrying. A rising price level at a time of falling nominal wages will certainly hurt our working class. This also implies a greater risk of working poverty among the D40 income group.
So Niaz, the million-dollar question, before the pandemic, there was a lot of conversation about minimum wage. So what does this pandemic mean for the argument that minimum wage should be increased to a high level? Does the economic situation make the policy proposal difficult to implement?
So the whole proposal of the minimum wage was in the context that wages in Malaysia have not been sufficiently high if we compare ourselves to peers in ASEAN countries, including Singapore. But that was at a time of economic growth where businesses were expanding. But this time it's different, and the push for minimum wage will certainly face difficulty in implementation, and it is for the following reason. If you think about it, being rigid about minimum wage implementation during a crisis can risk greater unemployment because firms need to adjust to demand and supply shocks. It's a very precarious situation out there. But it's not possible with a rigid wage structure. So there has to be flexibility in the market in terms of prices. So for the time being, the government has to consider other fiscal options to compensate our low-wage workers.
And maybe you can talk to us about that, Niaz. What are some of the immediate measures that can be taken to reverse or at least mitigate this trend, the downtrend in wages?
I can think of two measures. The first would be to create a safe environment so that labor-intensive industries where our low-pay workers concentrate can fully reopen for business. What we have seen in the past month is this pattern of factories opening and then closing down because of new infection cases. So we have to realize that for employees in sectors like manufacturing and construction, working from home is not really an option. These workers have little bargaining power and they remain most vulnerable to reduced work hours and salary reduction. So they should be vaccinated on a priority basis so that factories don't have to close down because of new infections at the workplace. So this is number one. The second measure is about preserving the purchasing power of the working class. We must avoid further decline in real wages because of inflation. The government needs to regularly monitor prices of necessary items, particularly food products. Cost push inflation because of rising fuel prices must be also kept in check.
But Niaz, even before COVID-19, there have been question marks about the average salaries of Malaysians being relatively low. So what kind of long-term policy responses should we consider, especially since our government targets to achieve high-income nation status by 2025?
Well, that's a very good question. So if we go by the recent World Bank report, Malaysia is projected to become a high-income nation between 2024 and 2028, and we have come this far because of steady rise in per capita income, but the recent 9% drop in salary means that much of the past gain has been lost during the pandemic. And as you rightly point out, even before the pandemic, all those wages were increasing, it was not increasing fast enough. So, in terms of long-term policy response, I would single out two. First is to create more skilled jobs. And the second is to create more provisions for investment in skills so that together we have a labor market where not only jobs are more intensive in skill, but our workers are also endowed with skills. And together, this makes us more resilient to future labor market disruptions, particularly in times of recession.
Niaz, thank you so much. Some very good points that you made there. That was Dr. Niaz Asadullah, Southeast Asia lead of the Global Labour Organization, talking to us about the downtrend in salaries and wages and policy responses that the government should perhaps be considering to mitigate it.
My concern is that this becomes prolonged and then it becomes the way of life, an accepted salary that people just, make do with because the current economic situation is such. And then we forget that we are supposed to have actually recovery.
That's right. And I was particularly struck by his comment that one of the ways the government can mitigate this is to ensure a return to safe economic conditions. Allowing businesses to reopen will sort of stymie any further downtrend. And so it's not really related to like giving more wages per se, but allowing people to actually go out and work so that they can earn wages rather than being stuck at home or having their work furloughed or whatnot.
It's very interesting. Culturally in Asia, we tend to not lay off, but rather reduce salaries. But you hit a very good point where if you feel confident that the business will reopen soon, right, in the next 6 months or 9 months, I wouldn't let go of my staff. Mm. I would say, guys, let's just hang on a bit. Let's all take a bit of a pain and cut our salaries a bit so that we can just come back later and do. Because it's very painful to rehire in Malaysia and also retrain people. So the question is, how long is this recovery? And this is the challenge I feel we have to decide, whether you drive the recovery through giving stimulus packages to the individuals or whether you give support to the businesses so that they feel like, okay, there is a wave that's going to come through. I'm going to keep these people employed. So just hang in tight. It'll be all okay later there.
I think it has to be a combination of things, right? So you've got to get the policy issue going whereby you do give stimulus to businesses, whether it's a wage subsidy program, rebates and different forms of taxes. Yep. But you also have to give businesses visibility and hope.
Absolutely.
And that's the key criteria, right? Because you're saying, okay, hang in there, guys. You know that the country is facing tough times, but we will get through this because once we hit certain indicators, the economy will open, we will vaccinate, businesses will resume, and then that wonderful cycle, the economic cycle can churn, consumption can continue. But of course, that is getting everything in place, all the pieces working together, that of course is the big challenge.
And that is an ongoing discussion. We'll continue this discussion, certainly. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.